Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Sean Gentile is, of course, a senior NHL writer at The Athletic. Of course, you know him as well from the time he's covered the Penguins very closely. He covers the whole league closely now, but the Penguins and their former head coach are still the big story outside the playoffs. Mike Sullivan to the Rangers. And Sean, are you hearing the same thing that ESPN's Emily Kaplan reported, which is that this is going to be the richest coaching contract in league history for Sullivan?
Yep. I think it might have to be. I think it would need to be big-time money to get me to willingly sign on to have James Dolan and Chris Drury as my bosses, which is what Sullivan is doing. And it's like that thought was enough to make me wonder whether he was actually going to go through with it. Maybe we'd see him end up somewhere else, Boston, Chicago, maybe. I don't know.
For people who don't know, I think most people know casually Dolan's reputation. I mean, he's a blues master, yes, of course, but he's also a nightmare owner. What is Drury's reputation as a GM for people that are not like following Chris Drury's post-playing career very closely?
Yeah, as you said, I'm sure everyone knows James Dolan from his time opening for the Eagles with JD.
What is it, JD and the Straight Shot Band, right?
Yeah, JD and the Straight Shot. He's fired three coaches in like two calendar years now, right? I think that's always kind of an indication. They had a complete disaster of a season, and it wasn't just on the ice either. This wasn't just an issue of, you know, crappy production or not living up to expectations. Like that was part of it too. They were a mess from the jump, but the vibes around that team just more generally were awful because you have Jacob Trouba, right? We know him. We remember him from his run-ins with the Penguins over the years.
Got incredible thing with the wife though, that was doing as a med student or doing a residency, I guess. And he just would not, that whole story was a delight, by the way. He's a wife guy.
One of our foremost wife guys. I think you and Jake Trouba are top of the list of wife guys. So a Drury screwed that situation up though, because he, you know, tried to trade Trouba during the off season. Trouba says no because his wife's finishing her residency and all that stuff. It's his right. He has no trade clause. That's why you don't give out that many no trade clauses. So you don't have to worry about stuff like that if you're a general manager, but you know, I digress. And that just kind of poisoned the well moving forward to the point where stuff was off from, you know, in the fall moving forward. And then we find out that Chris Drury sends out a memo to the league saying like, hey, make me an offer for Jake Trouba, make me an offer for Chris Kreider. That's just the latest kind of in a long line of, Let's say that Chris Drury's personal skills are kind of lacking when it comes to that job.
He does not have the soft skills that are needed to be a good GM. Is that what you're saying?
Soft skills are it's a great way to put it. Like he made Trouba mad. He made Chris Kreider mad. He made Barkley Goodrow mad in the off season when he basically, you know, waived him to get around a no trade contract. So it was just one thing after another for Drury. It was a total mess of a year from a personality management, from like a human being management perspective. And also the on ice product was abysmal too. Like you have Igor Shesterkin coming out during their breakup day saying basically he hated playing there, but playing every day and he's depressed and all that. So like that's just indicative of how of how much of a mess things were with the Rangers. And it's like indicative of the stuff that made me think maybe there wouldn't be enough money to draw Sullivan to the job. But, you know, I think it always felt kind of inevitable. And now here we are.
I'm not asking you to take sides, but actually that's a lie. It's exactly what I'm going to ask you to do. Multiple people here at the station, Crowley heard it, I believe. Pony had heard things suggesting this. That Sullivan more wanted out than the Penguins wanted him out. Josh Yoey today in The Athletic suggesting that if Sullivan had had his way, he said, quote, I wouldn't say Sullivan was fired, but I also wouldn't say it was entirely mutual. If it were up to Sullivan, I don't believe he would have left Pittsburgh under any circumstances. So what is your read on who wanted to be gone from here more? Kyle Dubas wanted Sullivan out or Sullivan wanted to get out more? Is this one of those ones where you go, yes?
Yes. I think both sides probably wanted it to end a little bit more than they were willing to admit. Is that a cop-out? Is that like a cop-out answer?
I mean, do you think if Sullivan really wanted to be here, he would still be here? Is, I guess, the way I would try to pin you on this a little bit.
I don't think so, honestly. I don't. But I think also if... I think him staying around was probably contingent on some stuff that Dubas wasn't willing to budge on. Like say theoretically, you're Mike Sullivan, you're trying to figure out what you want to do next year, and you're saying like, okay, I'm on board, everything, I get it, we're rebuilding, yada yada. But if the trade deadline rolls around again and we're in a position where we're fighting for a spot, I would like to, you know, add players. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't get that kind of that kind of guarantee, then maybe, you know, what do you do? How do you move forward? And I think there's a chance that something like that happened. But also, like, this team isn't very good. There's some level of dysfunction. There's some like clearly that's not, we're not telling tales out of school there. I think when you have Mike Sullivan saying I expect to be here, and then 2 weeks pass and he's not anymore, like, you know that the left hand doesn't know what the right one's doing. So there is some degree of dysfunction there. And I think it's like a lot of relationships, man. Like sometimes they run their course, and also sometimes both parties want it to end, but don't really know how to make that happen, right? And you know, someone pulled the trigger. I tend to think that it was more on the team side than the coach side. But like in the clear light of day, or whatever cliche you want to use, man, like, this needed to happen. It was time, and I think it's the right move for both sides.
It's starting to remind me of a relationship I had where neither side knows how to end it, where my then girlfriend said, I think we should take a break, and I said yes probably a little too quickly and emphatically. Yeah. And that was the end of it. So it's actually kind of something I can maybe relate to from my past.
I'm truly hoping that my girlfriend is listening to this radio hit either. Like, I'm not talking about current relationships. This is purely hypothetical.
I mean, you really did describe something that happened to me in the last serious relationship I was in before I met Alex. So that actually is like very believable and easy for me to conceptualize when you put it that way. The more pressing thing now, though, Sean, now that we've gotten past all that, is what do the Penguins do moving forward? Like, how long do you think this search is going to take for a new head coach? And do you feel like you have a sense of what direction Kyle Dubas wants to go with the type of guy he hires?
Not really. I think that's kind of the overriding factor, is that there's a bunch of different stuff in play. Like, I think it is going to, I don't think this is going to get buttoned up anytime quickly. I think, you know, I'm pretty sure it was Josh that reported today that, you know, Dubas is going to go to Worlds. And I think that's going to be a little bit of a fact finding mission. Like, I don't think there's any real.
Josh put like a month long timeline on it potentially. He said it could be an entire month, like past Memorial Day maybe, where they get a coach.
That wouldn't surprise me. And I think that's probably the right route to take, honestly. Like, you don't need to, what are you gonna do? Like stampede to go be the team that hires Peter Laviolette this offseason? Like, I don't think there's any real reason to rush here. Like, you're not gonna get, you know, I'm sure Kyle Dubas would love to hire, you know, David Carl away from the University of Denver. He's a great, great collegiate coach. He's 35. He's developing talent there and has for years. But like, David Carl just said no to the Chicago Blackhawks. He passed on coaching Connor Bedard, right? So I think, you know, there's a top layer of candidate that you're probably not going to get just because of just because of where we are in the calendar and where the Penguins are roster wise. So if that's the case, if you're not going to have to move quickly to, you know, reel in anybody in particular, then you might as well take all the time you have, because that's just where we are in the calendar.
What is your level of faith? Not faith isn't the right word. That makes it feel like you're hoping for it. But, you know, how good should Penguins fans feel, in your opinion, about Dubas? It's now his show fully. We know how much power Sullivan had in influence and say so because of his connections with FSG and his success. But this is very much Kyle Dubas' show now, for better or worse. Where is your needle pointing on the, is it better or is it worse that he's the guy in charge now fully for the Penguins' sake?
I think you're going to remove some of that push and pull that we saw this past year, where Sullivan, man, you could just tell he was miserable. That's not a guy that's wired to lose a bunch of games, and he lost a bunch of games. So I think he was wearing it on his face in a lot of ways. And I just don't think they were completely aligned over the last couple of years. Like Mike Sullivan wanted them to trade Jake Gensel at the trade deadline last year. Like, absolutely not. Whoever he brings on is going to have a better alignment with where they are, you know, moving forward. Because that's not a good roster, and it's not going to be a good roster. And I don't think Sullivan is wired in any way to, you know, go into a season knowing that, you know, stuff isn't great and it's probably going to get worse.
Rick Tocchet, yes or no, do you think he is going to be the next Penguins head coach? I'm just going to use that name because it's the one that everyone instantly wanted to connect to this job.
I think it's way more likely that he ends up in Philly. Like, they've been targeting him from the jump, like right after they hired John Tortorella. I think he's a better fit for where they are. I think Philly's farther along in their rebuild. I think that ship sailed, but it wouldn't surprise me to see. Yeah. I shouldn't say ship sailed. I think there's a chance, but I also think it's much more likely that he ends up with Philly.
Senior NHL writer for The Athletic, he's Sean Gentile. Thanks, Sean. Pony texted me during this and said he tuned in and was very sad that he missed you today.
Yeah, this is a very serious conversation we just had, too. I'm disoriented by all of this.
Sorry, I'll try to make sure that next time it's just about, you know, basically playing grab ass on the radio.
That's all I'm looking for, brother.
Goodbye.
Bye now.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent,
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.